Hi, good evening. Welcome to our Wednesday evening service. If you would, please stand, take your hymnals, turn to hymn number 377. Hymn number 377, Set My Soul Afire. We'll sing all three verses of 377. Join with me on that first verse.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me, let thy voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day and hour. I will be a witness, fill me with thy power. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, for the lost in sin. Give to me a passion as I seek to win. Help me not to falter, never let me fail. Fill me with thy spirit, let thy will prevail. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Set my soul afire, Lord, in my daily life. Far too long I've wandered in this day of strife. Nothing else will matter but to live for thee. I will be a witness, for Christ lives in me. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy saving power. Millions grope in darkness, waiting for thy word. Set my soul afire, Lord, set my soul afire.
Amen, Brother Eric. Amen. Well, good to see each one of you out tonight on this cold, cold winter night in February. Preacher always calls this our oasis in the desert. I think tonight we could probably call it the oasis in the frozen tundra. It is cold out there, amen. But glad you're here tonight, and glad we could sing about a song already about setting our soul afire. Maybe it'll warm us up a little tonight, amen. All right. Well, good to see each one of you here. Brother Waters, would you open us in prayer tonight, please? You may be seated tonight. Got a few announcements to bring to you tonight. There's a lot of things going on in the month of February. And so if you are not watching the calendar, you may want to start doing that. The first thing that is going on this Friday, we have a Foundation Builders activity. All right, and we are still planning on having that. Snow, ice, or whatever, we're planning on going, okay? And so if it gets real bad, we'll let you know, okay? We're not going to put you in danger or anything like that. But I think it's looking like the weather will hold off enough we can have our activity this Friday night. We're going to meet here at the church at 6 o'clock, between 6 and 6:30 and head out. We've got reservations at Mi Ranchito for dinner, and so we'll go get some Mexican food. And then we are going to go to some escape rooms, and we should be done about 10:30 at night, all right? So it'll be a good, fun activity for the Foundation Builders class. So if you are signed up for that, you had to be signed up by this last Wednesday night is what I'm trying to say. Can't get it out. But anyway, so last Wednesday night, you had to be signed up by then, all right? So if you're not signed up, it's too late. I apologize for that. But anyway, those that are signed up, I think we have 20 that are going, and so it'll be a fun time together, and look forward to that. And then this coming Sunday, Brother Ben Quinlan from Iowa will be here preaching on all services this Sunday. We're looking forward to that, so make sure you're here in your place, all right? And hopefully the weather will let us have service, but I'm sure that it's going to do that. And then next Monday, Faith Baptist School, there's no school. It's President's Day, so we get the day out of school. And the parents are probably oh-me-ing right now, oh-my-ing, but the students are excited to have a day out of school. And then next Wednesday, Brother Tim Quinlan's going to be preaching a week from tonight in our Wednesday night service. Next Friday, we have ball games that'll be in the E.J. Watson Gymnasium over here at 6 o'clock against Heritage. And we're excited. Our teams are doing really good this year, okay? So come out, support them, and enjoy the games, especially if you have kids that are in the school. Come and support them and watch them play. And then Saturday, we have our church-wide outreach at 10:30 in the morning. Next Sunday night, I'm sorry, the 21st, the teens are going to be going to Mod Pizza after the evening service, and they're going to do what they're calling a restaurant takeover. And so parents, be sure you're aware of that after the evening service on the 21st. And then my understanding is you'll pick those teens up at the gym at 9:30 that night after they are finished. Tuesday night, the 23rd, is a ladies' meeting. And is that at 7 o'clock? Anybody know? 7 o'clock in the evening on Tuesday night, the 23rd. Friday, the 26th, we have ball games. These are going to be at Heritage, and those are at 6 o'clock. So if you want to make the journey over to Lawrence, feel free to do that, and we'll play them. That'll be our final game of the season over there on the 26th at 6 p.m. And then Saturday, the 27th, of course, if you've been listening or been in the services, we're kind of experiencing a shortage in ammunition, things like that. So our bacon and bullets has now become bacon and biscuits, or biscuits and bacon, whichever way we want to say it. But we're going to have biscuits and bacon. We're going to have breakfast, all right? And I'll be over here in the fellowship hall at 8 a.m. in the morning, and for a men's prayer breakfast, and that's on the 27th, all right? So just a lot of things coming up. So be watching your calendars, and Lord willing, the weather will let us do all these things, all right? Right now, it's not COVID we're fighting, it's the weather, all right? But thankful we're able to have church tonight, amen? And so let's go ahead and get our prayer lists out now, and we will go through those. I've got a few updates for you, as well as some to add. And then if you have anything, we will add those on here as well. Be sure and keep Miss Carolyn Moore in your prayers with her Parkinson's. She's right there at the top of the list on the left, and I think about them quite often and know that she really struggles with falls and things like that. Henry Perez, still in the nursing home. He is, as far as I'm aware, over the COVID, but fighting some other battles there. He's also in that left column and not quite halfway down. Others that we've been praying for, especially Brother Owen Wood, who had the surgery on his leg. He's there in the left-hand column as well, and still recovering from that, praying that his vision will clear up so he's able to get back to church. I know that he would really enjoy to be here with us, of course. And then Miss Kathy Chadwick, that's Michelle B. Dalsing's grandma. Many of you know her. She is kind of been just declining over the last week or so, and not doing so well, falling more and things like this. So be in prayer for her and the family. And then I put on here, I marked Miss Cindy Metzinger. We need to make sure in keeping her in prayer, but it was good to see her and Brother Metzinger at the couples retreat last week, and I was glad to see that she was up and around. They didn't stay for the whole thing, but I know she's still facing some serious health issues, recovering there from the cancer. And so just keep her in your prayers. Of course, Miss Virginia Potts there in the top of the right-hand column. Looking forward to having her back in services, still recovering from the heart surgery. Everything went well in that, but we need to be praying for her recovery. And then I've got an update for you. Of course, down there on the right-hand column, about halfway down, is Bob Watson, my brother. He had his hip surgery today. It was worse than they thought it was. The doctor said the surgery went great, but his hip was in a lot worse shape than what they thought. A lot of more problems there. And they're keeping him overnight for observation because of blood clots and arthritis and things like that that have been setting in there. And so keep him in your prayers if you would. I would sure appreciate that. I know the family would, and of course he would. And then my sister-in-law, there, you know, if you haven't noticed in the weather, speaking of the weather down south, ice storm and things like this is all coming up through that part of the country, and they're expecting some weather, and she's traveling back and forth by herself about an hour and a half from Amarillo. So appreciate your prayers for traveling safety for her as she goes back and forth there. I did want to add one. My wife's got an unspoken request that you could put on there tonight. She asked me if I could let you know of that. And then also, my wife's aunt, her name is Debbie Burns, has come down with COVID. And so if you could keep her in your prayers, we would appreciate that. She has not been feeling well for about the past week, and found out, and she works for an attorney, and he called her a day or so ago and said, my wife tested positive for COVID. She went and got tested, and she is also positive for COVID. And she has a lot of bronchitis issues and asthma type issues anyway. And so it's kind of a serious thing for her. So if you keep her in prayer. Of course, remember our pastor as he's down there in Disney World where it's 80 degrees and warm. But we're so thankful he can get away, amen, and enjoy that time with family. And I know they would appreciate your prayers for traveling safety as they're going to be going from Orlando up to Pensacola there in the area for the funeral for Brother Ryerson. So remember them in your prayers, and the funeral services in your prayers there as well. Do we, anything else we need to add to our prayer list tonight? Brother Parker. This is your cousin, you said?
This is my cousin's husband.
Your cousin's husband.
His name was Randy Nessler, N-E-S-S-L-E-R. And he's not able to go with him on oxygen. He's had a lot of health problems in recent years. So, pretty concerned about him.
Okay.
Appreciate your prayers for him.
Absolutely. All right, so Randy Nessler with COVID, if you did not get that, we need to be praying for him. And also Mrs. Parker's brother, Mark Williams, that passed away last weekend. Be praying for that family as well, the Mark Williams family. Anyone else tonight? Miss Marie.
Your daughter, Candy, is on there.
Yes. Great. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Answer to prayer. So Miss Candy Birchfield here on our prayer list. You can take her off. She is doing much better, as well as she was able to get a job. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. All right. Yes, Miss Griffin. He's over the COVID. Amen. So Lori Doyle, pray for her for the high blood pressure. And then also, and she's on our prayer list already, and then also James Love. He is over the COVID, but still suffering from the leukemia. So be sure and keep him in your prayers for that. But so thankful he was able to come through the COVID and preach this last Sunday. Amen. All right. Yes, Brother Waters. Absolutely. So Trevor Jones there on our prayer list, he's on that right-hand column there. He is doing somewhat better, got a wheelchair for him and everything like that, but still has a lot of insurance problems and stuff they're going through. And boy, that can be a headache, I'm telling you. I know how that goes. So be in prayer for him, but glad to hear that he is on the mend, so to speak, as far as he can. It's a sad situation there. If you didn't hear about that, 25 years old, had just a freak accident and broke his neck there. And so, horrible. All right, anyone else? Yes, Brother Waters. Diane, last name? Haynes? So Diane Haynes, that's your, you said it's your cousin. Your mom's cousin. Okay, mom's cousin. So Diane Haynes, Brother Waters' mom's cousin, that had a kidney transplant and then contracted COVID. And so is over the COVID now, but still has complications trying to get all the help that she needs with medications and stuff like that for the kidney transplant. Kind of back to square one, sounds like. Yeah. All right. Lots to pray for tonight. Anyone else? Miss Edler. Absolutely. Continue to pray for Miss Edler and her health and everything she's facing. I know it's been an uphill battle for her, so keep her in your prayers for sure. Anyone else? All right, we can have the men come tonight, and we will take up our offering. And I'll tell you what, I'm so thankful we have a Lord that answers prayer. Amen? And we can go to Him with all these things because there is so much to pray for all the time. And I'm glad that we have a church that prays for one another. And so let's lift these up together tonight as we take our offering. I'm going to ask Brother Parker, would you pray for these requests tonight and our offerings, please?
latest letter from our church planting missionaries, Robert and Amber Cullison, to Ogallala, Nebraska. It says, a new year brings new blessings. Our year started off with the opportunity to travel to a missions conference at Elbow Lake Baptist Church in Elbow Lake, Minnesota. We were blessed to be able to enjoy fellowship with several missionary families. Asher and I, Robert, had a chance to try ice fishing. Thank you to everyone that prayed for us as we traveled. Not only were the roads clear, but other than being a little cool, the weather was great while we were there. We continue to pass out tracts and invite people to church. Many not only received the tracts, but also seem surprised at what they've been presented. I have the sense that this town has not been saturated with spiritual literature, which, Lord willing, will work in our favor. We've been working to develop a relationship with one of our neighbors and have invited their oldest boy to come and play with our children a couple times. We pray that through this relationship we might see some impact for Christ. The relationships we have with those that regularly attend service continues to grow. Several of the men enjoyed a meal with us on a Sunday afternoon. There was a good time of fellowship for all. These men may have been attending church together for the past several months, but it has been great to see the relationship strengthen as each man opens up. Something else tremendous occurred this month. The woman from whom we purchased our home sent us a letter that informed us of the potential need to replace some sprinkler heads in our lawn, as well as the fact that she had recently become aware of a safety issue with the ceiling fan in our home. Not only was it kind of her to inform us of these things, but she also sent us a check to cover the estimated cost for these replacements. In the month to come, we are planning a Meet the New Pastor Sunday. There is the potential for a good turnout given small town curiosity. We pray that not only will it allow us to meet new people in the community, but also open even more doors to develop relationships. So please pray with us regarding our Meet the New Pastor Sunday, Amber's pregnancy with our third child, which is due May 3rd, and then continued opportunity to connect with people and develop relationships in this small town. So a wonderful update there. Certainly thankful for that. Brother Griffin, would you pray for the Cullisons as well as our other missionaries around the world? All right, if you would please stand, take your hymnals, and turn to hymn number 419. Hymn number 419, we'll sing the first, the second, and the fourth verses of The Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sin. sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. When all around my anchor holds within the veil, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Take your hymnal, or take your Bibles, please.
Amen. Well, it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. Amen. And look forward to what the Lord has for us tonight. If you would, please turn to the book of Psalms. The last few times I've been able to preach, which it's been a while, I get to do this about three, four times a year, something like that. We've been in the book of Psalms. Tonight we're going to go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter number 1. And I've been amazed as I've studied this, how much is in this psalm. And it's a familiar one, of course, to many. Probably a favorite to many. It's one of my favorites. But there's just a lot here tonight. It is packed full. And we're going to get into it tonight and probably not get too far. But told my wife tonight, jokingly, this might get me through the end of this year, this psalm, if we really dive into everything. But we'll see. So let's read the entire psalm together tonight. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. I'm going to preach to you tonight a message that I've entitled this, Two Ways of Life. Two Ways of Life. And then I put a subtitle out there kind of on the side that says, The Choice is Yours. The choice is yours. Because the choice is ours, isn't it? It is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father, again, we thank you for allowing us to be in your house tonight. I pray now that you would bless the preaching of your word, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit tonight. And Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will be able to move among our people tonight, among your people tonight, Lord, and that you would just use this message to encourage, Lord, to challenge, Lord, maybe to convict, and Lord, to just help us to, Lord, just to live a life that's pleasing to you based on your word. In your name I pray, amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you for standing. I was debating on whether or not to tell this little story tonight just to start us out, but I think I need to because I don't know if it's the weather or what's going on, but it seems like we're kind of tired tonight, all right? I know it's the middle of the week. It really is our oasis in the desert, as Pastor puts it, because you go out to your jobs and you have all these things going on all week, and you get to come in here in the house of the Lord and just kind of, it's just a breath of fresh air, isn't it? But it's hard to get fresh air tonight when it's 14 degrees below zero outside. So I understand tonight maybe if you are struggling a little bit. But just try and stay awake. I'll try not to put you to sleep. But I want to start off with this story because I think it kind of goes along with the message tonight. There was a young man and he was, you know, he graduated high school and he had had girlfriends before. But every girl that he ever brought home, mom didn't like. Either they weren't nice enough, they weren't, you know, they weren't well-mannered enough, things like this. And so finally he made up his mind he was going to go out and find a girlfriend that was just like his mom. So he did. He made the choice to go do this. He went out and he found one. I mean, he found a girl that smelled like his mom, that acted like his mom, that sang like his mom, that cooked like his mom. even dressed like his mom, brought her home, and Dad didn't like her. So anyway, it's just a funny story. But, you know, the truth of the matter is he was making a choice. And it kind of goes along with our message a little bit tonight. And we'll kind of make that clear as we go along here. But the Psalms are great at capturing our human experiences, aren't they? They really are. This is one of the reasons that I, and probably a lot of others, probably a lot of you, enjoy reading through the Psalms. I know my dad really loved the Psalms. It was one of his favorite books in the Bible, and he would talk about it a lot. And it's because we can usually see us in a lot of what's going on in the Psalms. The Psalms kind of remind me of Peter. Every time I hear Peter in the New Testament and I see things that Peter has done, I look at Peter and go, yep, that's me. That's me. A lot of times it's just because I'm sticking my foot in my mouth, which Peter had a lot, you know, a lot of times he would do that. But the Psalms, you know, if you're like me, you can kind of look at them a lot and you can see yourself in these. And so whether it's David or another psalmist, you might say, yep, that's me. That's me. That's what I do. That's what I need help with. The Psalms, like other books of wisdom or literature in the Old Testament, there's other ones such as Job, Proverbs, even Ecclesiastes. A lot of these are Hebrew poetry. And if you don't already know this, you need to understand tonight that our English poetry and Hebrew poetry are way different, okay? Because English poetry emphasizes rhyme and meter, all right? And we have a lot of this in school, of course, teaching school here. And kids, you know, some like poetry, some don't at all. You find this out very quick. But we go through a lot of these, and we emphasize the rhyme and the meter. But Hebrew poetry relies on characteristics for impact, okay? And so things like parallelisms, figures of speech, things like this. It's important to remember this when we're studying the Psalms. Like the Hebrew language itself, Hebrew poetry uses vivid images. Uses similes, metaphors to communicate its thoughts and its feelings to the reader. That's how the Psalms work. And the reason I want you to see this is because our text, the first psalm here, stands as kind of an introduction to the rest of the book of Psalms. All right? What I mean by that is that you could easily take almost any psalm in this book here and exclusively preach or teach from it. You could do that. However, the subject matter that's covered in Psalm chapter number 1, even though it's basic and even though it's general knowledge stuff, it touches on two major things that will continually be seen throughout the book of Psalms. In fact, even throughout the rest of Scripture. Okay? It declares the blessings or the blessedness or blessed right there is the very first word of the righteous. Those who are seeking to do right. Those that are seeking to follow the will of God and follow what His Word has to say. It teaches the blessings of those people. But in stark contrast, it also teaches of the misery and the future of the wicked. Those who choose not to follow God's word and not to follow His will and plan as is prescribed in Scripture. So this psalm summarizes all that is to follow in the remainder of this book. And for that matter, like I said before, all of Scripture. All right? In Psalm 1, we're presented right away with two distinct ways of life. Two distinct ways of life. We're presented, number one, with the way of the righteous or the godly person. And then we are presented with the way of the wicked or the ungodly person. However, the key subject here is the Word of God being the center of our lives. That's the key subject that's given here. This is what brings about the fruitfulness to the life of the one who is seeking to be righteous, or the one who is seeking to follow God. God's precious word must be the center of our very lives. It must be. Two matters of great importance come from this. The importance of the absolute necessity of Scripture in the life of the believer is the first one. The absolute necessity of it. You cannot survive as a Christian without it. You can't. And number two, the change of life that's promised for those who will make the Word of God the very center of their life. You see, you might be going along in life right now, but the Word of God hasn't been the center of your life. Can I just tell you, if you make God's Word the center of your life will be changed completely. It will be made into something that you never even dreamed or thought could be possible if you will make the Word of God the center of your life. And that's brought out here in this passage. I want you to notice with me how Psalm 1 drives home the use of this through contrast, all right? So in verses 1 through 6, there's the way of the godly and their blessing in contrast to the way of the ungodly. Look at Psalm 1:1, just the first verse there. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." Verse 1 tells us what the godly are not to do. Okay? What they're not to do. Now look at verse number 2. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Verse number 2 contrasts this because verse number 2 tells us what the godly person is to do. Okay? So verse number 1 tells us what not to do. Verse number 2 tells the godly person what to do. The contrast between these results, it's between the results of the two ways. The godly are stable and fruitful, aren't they? They're stable and fruitful, but the ungodly are unstable. And the ungodly are going to face the judgment that is to come if they choose that life. In other words, God is making something very clear and plain here. There are two ways of life, as I said in the beginning. Two ways of life. We can choose, and it is a choice. It is a choice. A life of blessing, a life of blessedness, happiness, fruitfulness. We can choose that life, or we can choose the life of cursedness and unhappiness and judgment upon ourselves. But it is a choice. The choice is ours. We are free moral agents, free to choose. God is not going to make us choose one way or another. He leaves that choice up to us. Being blessed is a choice. It is a choice. But to be blessed, one must by faith obey the conditions that are set forth by the Word of God. If you're going to receive the blessings of God, you must pursue the way of blessing that is described here in this psalm. You must pursue it. I think that an obvious place to begin here would be to say that if you're going to choose a life of faith, a life that wants to follow the Word of God, that needs to begin with salvation. It needs to begin with salvation. Just as I mentioned, God created us to be free moral beings. We are free moral agents. We are free to choose, aren't we? You can either choose to accept Christ as your Savior, or you can choose to reject Him. But the choice is yours. We are not Calvinists. We are not Calvinists. The term predestination in Scripture never, ever is referring to salvation. Doesn't refer to salvation at all. However, once a person makes a decision to accept Christ as their Savior, then the Holy Spirit, God, begins doing a work in the life of that believer to begin to conform them into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That is what predestination means, because it's been predetermined that God will do this in their life. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, can I just tell you that tonight He is waiting with arms wide open, ready to receive you tonight? He's waiting. It doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, doesn't matter your past. He is there, and you have a choice to choose Him tonight or to reject Him. But the choice is yours. And you can never begin to have the life that Psalm 1 is speaking about here tonight unless you have first accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. Until you've accepted Christ into your heart, you will never know the blessings and the happiness and the fruitfulness that's described here in Psalm chapter 1. You'll never know that. Christ loves you, and He wants you to be saved tonight, but the choice is yours. Now, for those of us who know the Lord as our Savior tonight, we too have a choice, don't we? We have a choice. We can either live the way of the godly, or we can choose to live the way of the ungodly. But the choice is ours. So let's look at the way of the godly for a few minutes tonight. And just to be honest, I don't think we're going to get past probably the first couple of verses tonight. But we're going to see the way of the godly in the first three verses. The word blessed in the Hebrew is plural, and it literally means blessedness or the blessings. The blessings. It's an intensive plural, and it's designed to emphasize the many blessings and happiness that will be to those who fulfill the requirements that are laid out in this psalm. Okay? We might paraphrase this in our language today, if you wanted to kind of think about it this way, in our modern terminology, if you wanted to say this: oh, how very, 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 very happy you will be. Something like that, okay? Because that's what it's really saying here, okay? The blessings, the blessings. If you went up to your children and said, if you will do what I tell you to do, how very, 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 very happy you're going to be, they would go, oh, what do I got to do? All right? And that's kind of what the psalmist is trying to get across here. He's saying that blessed is the man that doesn't do these things. In other words, how happy you're going to be if you'll just do what I tell you to do and stay away from what I tell you not to do. All right? And that's what's going on here. So we need to notice that the psalmist says, blessed is the man who? The man who what? Well, the man who obeys the actions that are laid out in the following verses. In other words, this isn't a life that you can just live however you want and expect the blessings of God on your life. That's not how it works, okay? You can't do that. Just like anything in life, there are rules to follow. There are boundaries that are set in place. And these rules and these boundaries aren't set in place to make our life miserable. No, they're there to keep us from harm, aren't they? They're there to give us the best life that God wants us to have. That's why He puts those boundaries in place. Parents, understand this tonight. You have boundaries for your children. You might tell them, I don't want you to go farther than the end of the block when you're playing, or I don't want you to go play in the creek, or I don't want you to go, if you do go to the creek, you're not to get wet. I heard that a lot as a kid. I still got wet, got in trouble, okay? And it wasn't because my parents didn't want me to enjoy myself. They wanted me to have fun. But they didn't want me to go someplace where I could get hurt or drown or something like that. We understand how that works. And our Lord is no different. He sets boundaries in place. He sets safeguards in place. And so you can have this blessing of a life. You can have the blessings in life and the happiness in life and all these things that God wants you to have. But you have to abide by the guidelines. You have to stay within the boundaries. And blessing is pronounced here, but only to those who are obedient to the Word of God. Only to those that are obedient to the Word of God. We need to remember that every jot and every tittle in the Word of God is important. Every little piece. We can't just accept what we want and throw out what we don't want. That's not how it works. I think it's important to note here that we are not being obedient or complying to a system of works. That's not what it's about. We're not complying to our self-righteousness or some formula to receive the blessings of God, but rather we are promised blessings when we live in accordance with the Word of God. Okay? Blessing is promised to those whose lives are characterized by certain qualities that come as an outcome of faith in our relationship with God. That's how it works. There's a principle here that certain things will corrupt our lives. And they will. There are certain things that will tear us down, certain things that will destroy us, but there are other things that will build us up. things that will help in our spiritual development, help in our walk with the Lord, and make us and cause us to be fruitful for Him. All of these will bring the blessings of God in our life and cause us to experience happiness, true joy, fellowship with God like we've never had before. So what are these things? Well, I'm glad you asked. But first, we're going to look at what they're not, okay? We're going to look at what they're not. What will bring the blessings of God? Well, first, we need to look at things that do not bring the blessings of God, because that's what's mentioned here in verse number one. Things to avoid. If we're going to be blessed, there are some things that we must stay clear of, right? And it's interesting to note here that as we read through verse number one, I want you to notice the digression of man, okay? Because as we go through here and we walk through here step by step, man starts out at one place, and by the end, he slowly worked his way down to where it's really bad, all right? And we're going to get into that. So three things are mentioned, and each one of them is a digression away from the things of God and more of a progression into sin, into sin. With each step that man takes, he becomes more entangled in the web of sin. So, number one, it says, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. This is what you're not to do. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Number two, blessed is the man that does not stand in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man that does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, in the beginning here of this verse, walketh has to do with following a course of action. Following a course of action, to live, to follow a way of life. It has the idea of going along with. Just going along with the crowd, following the crowd. The tense used is very decisive. He has chosen to follow this path. He's chosen to do it. He's chosen to follow after the counsel of the ungodly here. It's a choice, remember? Now, the word counsel has to do with a purpose, a plan. A viewpoint, a way of thinking, if you will. The Bible says, go ahead and turn there, Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, I'm sure most of you could probably quote this, but we'll turn there and look at it together. Proverbs 23 and verse number 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if this has to do with the way of thinking, the man who is going to receive the blessings of God is one who is determined to walk by the whole counsel of the Word of God. That's who's going to receive the blessings of God. And he's not going to walk by his emotions or by his experience or by his traditions or by popular opinion, or even by what's politically correct. No, he's going to walk and live by the whole counsel of God if he wants the blessings of God in his life. And he walketh in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, this has to do with being godless. Boy, that's deep, right? Ungodly. Has to do with being godless or negative toward God or loose from God. And I like this definition that was given. Without him as an anchor or controlling factor. Think about that for a minute. In other words, you're walking with the ungodly, and if you're ungodly, you're not having God as the controlling factor in your life. He's not your anchor anymore. This refers to those who are guided or controlled by their own desires, by their own emotions, impulses of their mind and flesh, rather than by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit. So, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Blessed is the man who doesn't
follow a course of action that is not directed by the Word of God. Blessed is the man that doesn't stand in the way of sinners. Now, the word standeth there has to do with stopping firm, staying. You see the digression? Because now we see man digress even farther. He went from just walking in the counsel of the ungodly, man has become more confirmed in it. He's now standing in it. He's become more influenced, if you will. And the word way has to do with a path, a course of action, a journey, a manner, a work. This refers to man's conduct, his behavior patterns, his habits, his responses, all of these things. Here we see patterns beginning to be formed, and these patterns become entrenched in him. From thinking like the world, we begin then acting like the world, don't we? We begin to be conformed to the world, as Romans 12:2 would say. Be not conformed to this world. But it says more. It says, he standeth in the way of sinners. Sinners here literally means missing the mark. We know this. We know what sin is. To fall short. The mark is the will and plan of God as revealed in Scripture, isn't it? Sin is the transgression of the law. We're all sinners. And we all miss the mark. Every one of us. None of us are perfect. Nor will we ever be perfect in this life. This is why Christ had to die on the cross. This is why Christ had to die for our sin, so that we can have his righteousness. Because our own is as filthy rags. Sinners here refers to those who have deliberately chosen a way of life. They've deliberately chosen a way of life, or a path that is in direct opposition to the plan of God that he's revealed in his word. Yep. And the man who will be blessed or receives the blessings of God chooses to have his life directed by God's plan according to his inspired holy word. Yep. So he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He refuses to stand in the way of sinners that we've just looked at. And then the last part there is, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We see more digression here. Because the word sit literally means to sit. Oh man, that's a deep one tonight, right? I know it's Wednesday night, but stay with me, okay? It literally means to sit, to dwell, to remain, to abide. So we see more digression here, because we are seeing again that man has now gone from walking in the counsel of the ungodly to becoming entrenched in the ways of sinners, now to becoming comfortable and content in the ways of the world in his life. And unfortunately, I'm afraid, this is what we're seeing in the majority of so-called Christianity today. This is what we're seeing. We're seeing it in our churches today. And I say so-called because the very definition of the word Christian means Christ-like. And just to be honest, I don't see a lot of Christians anymore that are too Christ-like in a lot of what they do, including ones that are in our churches today, not just the ones that are out of church. They claim the name of Christ, but they sure don't act like him. Oh, they might act like him here, but they don't act like him away from here. A sad poll was taken not that many years ago, and it compared those that go to church with those that do not go to church. You know what the results showed? The results showed that there was basically no difference in the way they live their lives. And you may be in here tonight, you may say, I'm sure that wasn't our Baptist churches. They didn't poll them. Well, it wouldn't surprise me if they did. And it wouldn't surprise me if a lot of them were our Baptist churches. Because most churches, honestly anymore, that claim the name Baptist are not Christ-like. They're not Christ-like in their doctrine, and they're sure not Christ-like in the way they live their lives. Many Christians in our Baptist churches today are merely playing church. They're just playing church. They're comfortable with their religion. They're not growing in their walk with the Lord. Rather, they're becoming more and more materialistic and earthly oriented in their lifestyle.
One man put it this way: they're living as earth dwellers instead of sojourners. And I like that. Unfortunately, I think that's the way a lot of Christians live today. And that's a lot of the way that saved, born again, quote unquote, Baptists in our good Baptist churches live today. Yep. Sitteth in the seat. The seat. What is a seat? Well, it's a place of sitting. Here we go. We're getting deep again. It's a place of sitting. Or an assembly where many are gathered to sit and make deals or have close associations. Now, the point of this is that when you sit in someone's seat, you act like them. You act like them. You take on their attributes. You associate with them. Then you're viewed to be like them. And you become like them. I thought about this illustration with this because every quarter in school we do, or I do, what's called supervisor for a day. All right, that's a dangerous thing sometimes, because what happens is I take the different age groups in the school, and the one who has the highest grade average for the quarter, well, they get to be supervisor for the day. So they become me, and I become them. And I have to sit at their desk and do all their schoolwork for the day. And they get to walk around and tell people what to do. Now, for some, this isn't so bad. For others, it's awful, because it goes way to their head. You can imagine, right, with me? All right? But when I sat down at that student's desk and I begin to do their work, I try and be me, but they make me be them. In other words, I start getting all the demerits. I start getting in trouble. And of course, I play tricks. I'll keep my cell phone in my pocket and they come and take it away and give me detentions and all this type of thing. I start to do their work. And other students even expect me to begin to act like them. So I will. I'll walk like them to the scoring table, you know, play around, things like that. And they laugh and they joke, but I become associated with them. I take on that form. And that's what the word seat here has to do with. Sitting in the place of them. Taking on the attributes of them. Who? The ungodly. The ungodly. Sitting in the seat of the scornful. The scornful. What is a scornful? Well, it has to do with scoffing, doesn't it? Mocking, ridicule, deriding someone. This is referring to one who becomes actively engaged in putting down the things of God and His Word. Being a scorner or scoffing can be done by actually speaking hurtful words. It can be. But there are other ways you can do it as well. It can be done through the way of a life that scorns the moral absolutes of the Word of God and its way of life. It's easy to see from taking a closer look at the words in this verse that it can become very, very easy for us to become passive about the Word of God. To become passive about it and to become passive about spiritual things in our lives. And becoming passive toward the things of God and His Word leads us to actively being involved in sin. That's what it does. If you're going to be passive about the things of God and His Word, and just sit in the pew when the Word of God is preached and taught, never do anything with it, you don't read it at home, you're lax in your church attendance, all these things, you will begin to become more sinful in your life. That's the way it works. And if this continues, you will eventually begin scoffing at those who are holding to the Word of God and holding to what the Bible says to do in their life. You'll begin scoffing them. You'll begin mocking them. And I've seen this. In almost 17 years of ministry at this church, I have seen people who used to be very active in this church leave and make fun of what this church does. I've seen it. I've seen teenagers do it. I've seen adults do it. Yeah. I've been in Walmart and had teenagers that used to be in my youth group laughing as my family walked by. Scoffing. That's where sin takes you. That's what happens if you allow it to. Yep. People can scoff or scorn at the word of God and those that hold to it. They can do it through ridicule. They can do it through rejection. But there are other ways. You can also do this through indifference. Right. Indifference. We have better things to do with our time than go to church. We have better things to do with our time than read the Word of God, to follow it. People can scoff or scorn it by substituting their own ideas, experiences, emotions, feelings, or even traditions for the Word of God. Yep. People scorn the Word of God by hearing what it has to say and then 100% completely ignoring it. I'd venture to say that we probably have people even in our own church today that are guilty almost every Sunday of hearing the Word of God preached and doing nothing with it. That's sad, but that's scoffing. Yep. And that's where sin, if left unattended, will lead you to, if you're passive about it. You hear the Word of God preached, you know it's directly speaking to your heart, and you do nothing with it. In essence, you are scoffing. You are scorning the Word of God when you fail to obey it and put your life in order according to what it has to say. Turn back again to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, this time in chapter number 1. Proverbs chapter number 1. We'll look at verse number 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Now look down at verse 29 through 33. For they that hate knowledge, that was mentioned there in verse 22, for they that hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from all from fear of evil. These verses teach us how that little by little, step by step, it's easy to fall away. It's easy to fall away and out of place of the blessings that God wants to give us. And we step by step, step into the misery of sin that has horrible consequences waiting for us.
Right.
First, we begin to think with the viewpoint of the wicked. Turn to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. We're going to look at chapter number 13 for a minute. We're going to look at the life of Lot just for a few minutes here. Genesis chapter number 13. Look at verse number 11. There's that word there, that third word in. Then Lot chose. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves, the one from the other. According to this verse, he chose the viewpoint of the wicked, didn't he? He chose that. And once we do this, we quite naturally begin behaving like the sinners that we are. It's a natural thing. We start acting like the sinners that we are. We begin to act more and more and more like the world. In Genesis 13:11, we read there, Lot walking in the way of sinners, he journeyed eastward, didn't he? He journeyed eastward. Then we too easily find ourselves associating with those who scorn and scoff at God's plan, and we also ignore his word and his plan for our lives. Look at verse 12 through 13 there in Genesis 13. Verses 12 through 13. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched in his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now look at go to chapter 19, and we're going to look at just the first verse. Chapter 19 and verse number 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot, what's the word? Sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. You see the digression of Lot? It's in direct parallelism to what we just read in Psalm 1. He walked, and then he ends up sitting in the seat of the scornful. Lot was sitting in the seat, associating himself with wickedness and those who would scorn God and his word. But Lot didn't used to be that way. It's all because of what he chose. He chose that life. Ephesians, turn there to chapter number 4, all the way to the New Testament now. Ephesians chapter number 4. We're going to look at three verses, 17, 18, and 19. We can see another parallelism here with these, 17 through 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Verse 17 is telling us, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's what it's saying. Now look at verse number 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Verse 18 is saying, don't stand in the way of sinners. Don't do it. Now look at verse number 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't give yourself over completely to the sin. So how can we avoid this? We're all sinners. We've already talked about this. We're all sinners. So how can we avoid this? How can you and I experience the blessings of God like he would have us to? Well, go back to Psalm 1 in our text. Psalm 1, because the answer is found in verse number 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. The answer? The man who experiences the blessings of God is the man who falls in love with the Word of God. That's the answer. He or she becomes a person of the book. Not a person of books. Not a person of the internet. A person of the book. God's Word. I want to emphasize tonight how amazing this is. Notice how the quality which characterizes the life of the blessed above everything else that could be mentioned is a person's relationship to the Word of God. Because in verse number 2, that's the first thing that's mentioned. It's the first thing that's mentioned. The number one quality is a person's relationship to the Word of God. Now turn over to Psalm 138. We're going to look at verse number 2. Psalm 138. And verse number 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. As I mentioned in the beginning, Psalm 1 is an introduction to the entire book of Psalms. You might even say, as one man put it, it's the gateway to the rest of the book, where all kinds of qualities are mentioned in the book of Psalms. Yet this is the one quality which is of single importance. Why? Because the Word of God is the root. The Word of God is the root. Everything else is fruit. What are we learning about in Sunday school? We're learning about abiding in Christ, right? Abiding in Christ. Well, guess what? He's the root. He is His Word. They are one and the same. He is the root. We are the branches. And if we're going to grow and bear fruit, then first of all, we've got to be connected to the root. God. We have to be. Otherwise, as branches, we have no fruit. We don't bear fruit, and we will die. Everything else is fruit. And that is why the Word of God is mentioned as the primary number one quality that we need to have. We need to be in love with this book. We need to be in love with it. Everything else in your life is fruit. It's the result of one who is living close to God by living in His eternal, infallible, sure, inerrant, preserved, tried Word. That's what it is. We see this emphasis all throughout the Bible. Turn over to the book of Luke. Stay with me. We're about done. The book of Luke, chapter number 11 tonight. The book of Luke, verses 27 and 28. And it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God, last three words, and keep it. You want to be blessed? Hear the word of God and keep it. That's what he says. Turn over a little bit farther to chapter number 16. And we're going to look at verse number 17. Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 17 says, And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one little tittle of the law to fail. God's word will never fail you. Amen. It won't. This church, if you didn't already know this, I'm sure most of you do, probably all of you, I hope you do, is not a social club. Right. It's not a social club. It's not a welfare organization or a religious or ritualistic institution. It's a called out local assembly of baptized believers that preach and teach and live by the word of God. That's what we are. I want to remind you tonight that the church is not the building, it's the people. It's the people. And as a person, as a saved, born again, baptized believer, don't expect the blessings of God on your life if you're not following His word and obeying it, because it's not going to happen. So what's the key to the blessings of God? But His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law doth He meditate day and night. The law of the Lord, the Word of God. That's the key. God's emphasis on His Word is to be the object of our delight, or to delight in it. And we're going to get into more of the delighting in part number two. But tonight, if you're here and you want the blessings of God on your life, get in the book. Get in the book. Say, it's that simple? According to God's word, it is. Get in it. Read it. Study it. Meditate on it. Make it your life. And obey it. And keep it. You might be here tonight and or listening online and you don't know Christ as your Savior. Let me just remind you tonight that before you can have this kind of a life, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Right. And the Lord is, He's waiting with open arms to receive you tonight. Amen. He wants you to be saved. More than anything else, He wants you to be saved tonight. But you might be here tonight and you're finding yourself like the one who's walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You might be doing that. You may have found yourself getting comfortable with the wrong crowd. It's easy to do. It's easy to do. Maybe you found yourself just comfortable with your religion. You come to church, but you don't get anything out of it. You're just going through the motions. You're just comfortable. You're not really standing on the Word of God anymore like you used to. And like you should be. You might have even begun to go so far as to be a scorner of those who are standing on the Word of God. You laugh at them because they dress right. You laugh at them because they pray before a meal when they sit down at a restaurant and you see them. Can you believe those people? Maybe you've gone that far. Tonight I want to remind you that we serve a God who is gracious. He's loving. He's forgiving. And all He wants from you is nothing more than repentance. Just repentance. Asking God to forgive you for what you've done. Forgive you for where you've gotten to in your life. And then make the Word of God your delight. Make it your delight. Read it. Study it. Crave it. Want more of it. Make it the center of your life. And keep it as the focal point of your homes. Then watch as God blesses. Because He will. And He has. And He will continue to. As long as we keep the Word of God at the very center. Make it your delight. Let's bow our heads for prayer tonight.